26. Seeking meaning where none may exist. They move through the stacks in the velvet gloom, with no particular process or plan, just picking and tasting at random, like children loose in an orchard, drawn at whim to the next promising fruit. Already the rows behind them are piled with books pulled from shelves, or left open and abandoned on lecterns and side tables. The young archivist would be dismayed, but Cinderman has sent her off to consult the catalogue listings. Mauer shows a fascination Cinderman would not have expected from so terse and pragmatic an officer. She seems almost enraptured by what she is finding, and keeps calling out lines and verses for Cinderman to scribble down in his old dog-eared notebook. He hears her rattling out the latest thing that's taken her eye. He only catches the last few words.
"Awake! Arise! Or be forever fallen!"
Wait, slower.
Say it again.
He can't keep up with her urgent dictation, so by the end of the first hour, she is transcribing annotations on her data slate, and they content themselves with calling out lines to each other through the stacks, sometimes a distance apart, so that the words of old Earth echo in the stilted space of the Great Hall, uttered aloud for the first time in perhaps 10 or 20,000 years. Mauer reads out something else, her voice coming to him from beyond the stacks where he is rummaging.
"It little profits that an idle king buys this still hearth among these barren crags."
"I don't think so," he tuts.
"Wait, Cinderman, it goes on, wait. Some work of noble note may yet be done, not unbecoming men that strove with gods. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield."
"Is that a poem?" he calls back, lifting down a heavy leather-bound volume of what appears to be late 37th-century political speeches.
"Mauer, is that a poem?"
"I think so,"
she replies. A pause. She appears suddenly in the shadows at the end of the shelves, studying a small book.
"A Lord Alfred. It's hard to tell, as the pages are so faded. Lord Alfred. Was he a High Lord?"
"I don't know," he replies. She tuts and discards the book onto a nearby pile.
"What is a poem, anyway?"
she asks. Cinderman sighs. Her approach is so random, he's finding it hard to concentrate.
"Mauer,"
he says,
"I don't really have the time to explain the cultural function of lyric verse. I think you know what a poem is." "Of course I know what a poem is,"
she snaps.
"I didn't mean that. I meant, what's the point of a poem? And when does a poem stop being just words and become something else? When do words gain power? Under what circumstances?"
"Power?
You know what I mean. It's the reason we're here."
He does know what she means, and yet he still can't answer. If any abreactive magic lurks in the Hall of Leng, he has no idea how they will find it, or recognize it if they do find it. Where does verse or prose or memoir stop and ritual begin? Can things be both at once? Are there incantations of control stashed here in this great collection under lock and key, or merely the indulgent scribblings of the ages, the fancy of idle men in easier eras, who set out to do no more than praise a lover, or articulate some feeling, or describe a flower, or perhaps merely rhyme for the sake of rhyme? The arts, whatever they may be, have come to play an increasingly insignificant role in imperial life, eroded by strife and old night, until they are vestigial memories, non-functioning organs dwarfed by rational science and secular industry. He recognizes, belatedly, his own lack of knowledge. Did the arts ever have a purpose, at any time in history? Or have they always been decorative? Does some art have true function and capacity, and other art not? How does he, with a mind raised in the schools of the modern Imperium, even tell?
"I have found a metaphysics of old Albia,"
Mauer calls out from beyond the shelves.
And something called the Codified Ministrations of Nathan Doom.
Add them to the pile, Mauer, he calls.
I have.
Listen, he says, propping a book open in his hand. I met murder on the way.
Why is that significant?
She calls back unseen.
Horus went to murder Orisarak, which he called murder.
He trails off.
What's it from? A grimoire?
The Mask of Anarchy, he replies, reading the title.
It says, rise like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number. Does that mean the First Legion?
I don't know, he says.
I doubt it.
They are both idiots, he decides. Idiots for embarking on this. He sees them both for an instant, as if from a distance through other eyes, himself and Mauer, an old man and a stern woman, lost and alone in the shelf maze of an abandoned library, seeking meaning where none may exist. An effort of monumental desperation, without plan nor forethought, driven by apocalyptic fear. This, he thinks, this is why people believe in gods. This is how they come to believe. In fear for their existence, they seek meaning in the dark, any meaning they can cling to, building false gods from nothing, assembling false significance from random scraps that were never connected or meant to be connected. It is exactly, precisely the kind of manic, superstitious pseudo-faith that the Emperor erased from human culture so that mankind could be free to build and make and know.
How about the Principia Bellicosa?
Skip it, he replies.
That's merely a record of conventional warfare.
He doesn't even know why they came here. Not anymore. The desperation of the hour notwithstanding, two sensible, sane people came here to... What? Two people, millions of books, trillions of words. What were they even thinking? He can't remember whose idea this was, his or Mauer's, and if it was Mauer's, then the folly of it seems so unlike her. Yet she went along with it, and seems more caught up in it than him.
At the still point of the turning veld, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards the still point, there the dance is, where past and future are gathered.
He ignores her voice. It is as though something told them to come here, as though, without words, someone sent them here. If there was something here, something of true worth and value, surely the Emperor or the Sigillite would have come to fetch it long since. The Hall of Leng, so piled with books and words, perhaps that's all it is. An emptiness, a trove of junk and memories left over from the distant past, a museum of antique and useless ideas, a museum of trifles. Yet he kept it. He preserved it all in one of the most secure locations in the sanctum. That, to Cinderman, is the true marvel and the true tragedy. An unexplored, unexploited wealth of past ideas, of high art. Does it make him more a god that he sequestered it, or more human that he, perhaps out of sentiment, could not bring himself to discard it?
To see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wild flower,
Mauer reads out, walking into view.
Hold infinity in the palm, and eternity in an hour. Yes, I like this one. I don't know what it means. Do you think it means the wall or the gate?
Mauer.
The wall or the gate? What do you think? I think...
What is the Hall of Leng? Cinderman interrupts.
After all.
What?
She asks, leaning around a shelf end to look at him.
What is it? A treasure house of the riches of old Earth? In which case, why is no one ever given access to it, or scholars granted admission? Or is it just his...
His what, Cinderman?
His scrapbook, his attic, his private casket of mementos and bric-a-brac.
You think it's that?
Cinderman shrugs. I think it has a ridiculously vast building devoted to it, if it is. But then, everything about him is on a scale beyond our understanding.
Are we wasting our time?
She asks, lowering the book in her hands. He looks at her and shakes his head in doubt.
Do you remember what prompted us to come here, Maurer?
He asks. She starts to answer, then stops. She has no answer, and he can see that it troubles her.
It's in our minds, isn't it?
She whispers.
Savorp. It's made us mad, and we don't even see it. It's in everything. It planted some insane notion in our heads, and off we ran like...
Idiots, he suggests. Maurer scowls.
No,
she says.
No, Kirill, no. There's something here. I'm sure of it. Sinkhouse's place was locked and guarded. How secure. The Emperor is pure rationality, and it is not rational to build a place like this unless it guards something of actual value. Keep looking.
She glances back at the book in her hands.
The sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man, down to a sunless sea,
she reads. She tosses the book aside.
Not that, obviously. Keep looking.
The young archivist reappears suddenly. She gazes in dismay at the books scattered on the checkerboard floor, but decides not to say anything. She has a data slate in her hand.
I have consulted the catalogue, she says nervously. I think I may have located some items in special storage.
Where?
Asks Maurer.
Collection 888,
she says.
Which is where?
Down here,
she says, gesturing. They freeze. A heavy thump has just rung through the echoic space of the vast library.
That was the main doors, the librarian whispers. Someone's here with us,
says Maurer. She draws her sidearm.
Someone or something.